Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, week one is finally upon us. I am ready for some NFL football. We've been looking at some national predictions for the Titans, so I want yours. What's the Titans' record this season, and where do they fall in the AFC South?
Okay. Oh, wow. I'm
coming at you hot. Happy Tuesday.
Golly. You really put me on the spot. I think they get 9 wins.
Okay.
Where does that put them in the South? I don't think they win the South. And I think that because of the AFC, that means they don't make the postseason.
You know what's interesting about that, Tim, is a lot of predictors, and they would be the first to admit, they're just looking at a team and saying, I say 9-8. That's what I did. I think that's what you just did, right? They haven't gone through all the math and all the games. Very few.
No.
So they would admit that I'm not sure the math works out for all these predictions, but most people have a team or two in the AFC making it at 9-8, because if you look at these divisions, like, who's bad in a couple of these really deep divisions?
They could cannibalize themselves realistically.
Exactly. I think that's what they come down to. So 9-8 might put you throw your hat in the ring a little bit.
Yeah, and like let's just, like, I mean, honestly, look at three of their first opponents, like, that are their first three AFC opponents. Like, the Chargers may not win their division. I think they're a playoff team. Like, most people don't think the Chargers will win their division. The Browns, people don't think are going to win their division. But, like, to me, like, that's one of the biggest, like, unknown teams in the league that I think could definitely be a playoff team. The Bengals are, you know, a team that, look, I think a lot of people think they could win the division, but, like, that's kind of a toss-up division where, like, some people think it's Baltimore that could win that division. So, like, I'm just looking at those teams. I mean, shoot, they get Baltimore week six. So, like, I guess what I would say is, like, to the point of, like, the depth in the AFC, like, no, I don't see it. And you're right, Willie, it's hysterical. Like, hey, 9 wins, like, but I just look, maybe 9 is being kind. I mean, maybe it's 7 wins. And then, like, we're not even having the conversation if, like, you're one of those 9-win teams that doesn't make it in.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So looking at some of the Vegas odds for prop bets throughout the rest of the season, Ryan Tannehill currently has the third best odds for quarterbacks most likely to be benched in the season. First is Baker Mayfield, second is Sam Howell. Do you think that's a realistic possibility that Ryan Tannehill could be benched in the middle of the season?
I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I mean, I think when you look at how preseason went, I think that's a very clear indicator of how the team feels about Ryan as their starter, right? Like, there was no, I mean, I feel like there were more conversations last year about is he competing for his job than there were this season in the preseason camp. So look, I do believe that there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that if they don't play well, you know, there's going to be some discussion about, you know, whether or not they should be the starter. And, you know, and then there are a handful of guys that, you know, no matter how much they're struggling, they're the guy. And I think that Ryan is probably, like, I think Ryan is kind of like on the in-between of those, right? So let me think of an example. Like, look, Deshaun Watson's not getting benched. I think even someone like Derek Carr is not getting benched. And so I think that Ryan Tannehill is probably not at that same level. But, you know, he's not Baker Mayfield, for sure. So, you know, he's not Desmond Ridder. He's not, you know, he's not in that mix. So, look, is he in the Geno Smith area? Maybe. Like, that's probably a more realistic, you know, area to be in. What about Tua? Is he in that area? I mean, I think that's probably where, you know, Ryan sits.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, what do you expect from this team, this first game, Tim? Because unlike other coaches during the preseason, Mike Vrabel chose not to play. You can say he really chose not to play Ryan Tannehill, but because that three handoff deal, he might as well had not even put him out there on the field. It didn't make sense, in a sense, but I understand it. But because we haven't seen this offense as a whole together for any amount of time, what do you expect from them in the first game?
Yeah, I was thinking about this before getting on the phone with you guys. Like, there's so much unknown. And I'm like, it feels weird considering it's like, hey, the quarterback's back for yet another year. The head coach is the same. The offense coordinator is the passing game coordinator a year ago. Like, the running back's the same. Like I do feel like it's kind of one of these interesting scenarios where it's like, I'm unsure. So, like, what do I expect? Look, I expect some struggles, no differently than what you see sometimes when people play in the preseason. And you and I both know, D-Mace, like, it's not the same. Like, you're not game planning the same. It's, you know, maybe not an effort as much to get a veteran the ball as you would in a regular season game because he's a much more proven player. So I don't think it's exactly the same, but I do think when all of a sudden, like, you're out there and it's like, oh, yeah, like, this is fast. Like, oh, yeah, like, here we go. Like, oh, we missed that one. And there's some communication. So I do expect there to be a little bit of kind of like breaking in the offense. I do expect that to happen.
Now, when you look at the AFC, not just the AFC South, because I think, you know, like I told Caroline and Willie earlier, the AFC South, if you can, you know, win the two games you're supposed to win, if we're just looking at Indianapolis and Houston as the – you know, the teams that are the lesser. If you win the two games you got to win and split with Jacksonville, then that gives you a better opportunity at winning the South. But as a whole, the AFC, how do you think this thing is going to pan out? Because right now, I mean, everyone has their winners of each and every division. And it may differ, you know, from division to division, but I think for the most part, if you asked everybody, they have consensus who they feel is going to be an AFC championship game. But how do you see this thing playing out in the AFC? Because I haven't seen the AFC like this in a very long time as far as their competitiveness.
I think that there are – let me count them up. I think that there are probably 7, maybe 8 teams in the AFC that I think could win the Super Bowl. So think about that. Like,
wow.
So, look, I think the Chargers or the Chiefs could win it. Okay, like, I mean, the Chiefs, obviously, and I think the Chargers are going to be really good. I think that Baltimore or Cincinnati could. So we're at 4 there.
That's 4.
I think that the Jets or the Bills could. So that's 6. And then I think there are teams that you have to say, like, that's interesting. And the teams that I would put in this group would be the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, like, I say that, like, to me, Cleveland, like, Deshaun Watson looked awful last year. Before the suspension, he was one of the 5 best quarterbacks in football. So, like, if he plays really well on a team that's got an amazing defense and an awesome running back, capable wide receivers, they're dangerous. Jacksonville is an ascending team with a guy that should be a superstar quarterback and by many accounts, like, a team that should win their division. So, like, you only have to win a couple games to end up in the Super Bowl. And then, look, I think that the Chargers on offense are going to be I think they're going to be a lot to handle, and they've got so much talent on defense. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. They don't need an explanation. Same thing with, you know, probably the Bengals. They were just there. The Ravens, because of their uniqueness, and people think they'll be really good because of Lamar. And then, look, the Bills have been on the cusp. And the Jets, I think, have a championship-caliber defense. They've got a superstar quarterback and a lot of good talent. To me, they remind me a little bit of the Rams right as Matthew Stafford got there, where, like, Stafford leads the league in interceptions that year, and they still end up in the Super Bowl because their defense was that good.
More with Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
Tim, what do you think? Like, we got a first game coming up here. You've got one of the more talked about teams, optimistic teams, people talking about the Lions, right? I remember the Browns were like this a few years ago, and they were actually playing the Titans in the first game, and they weren't ready. They didn't end up having a good season. The Lions are kind of that team, and they're playing the Chiefs. It's a really intriguing matchup there. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, what do the Chiefs look like against a very good Lions offense without Chris Jones, if that's what happens?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it looks like that's going to happen, right? And I think that, Chris Jones is probably their best defensive player. And so, look, you do that to anybody, you know, any team, that's a huge deal. I've always kind of felt like the Chiefs defensively were somewhat slow starters. And I think in some ways that's been, you know, somewhat of a mark of, like, Steve Spagnuolo's defenses. And I think some of that, you know, to be honest, is a credit to him, because I think that he's he does such a good job each and every week of kind of like, all right, we've seen what you do. This is how we're going to blitz this protection you run. This is how we're going to match routes. And so I do feel like they're a defense that gets, you know, typically gets better as the season goes along. I think it's like, to me, the Chiefs defense is like, that's the whole key to the Chiefs season is, look, in years past, they've had guys that could close out games. So, like, George Karloftis, who was their first-round draft pick, not this past season, but the season before, like can he be a closer, you know? Is Chris Jones there? Is he, you know, making plays to get teams off schedule? To me, that's the big question mark on their team. And when you don't have your best defensive player, then yeah, I think it could look drastically different. In some ways, look, it might be what Chris Jones is looking for. Is like, look, here's this high-powered offense that's coming to town. If I'm not there and it's a problem, maybe I'm more likely to get a deal.
Are you a believer in the Lions in general?
I am, because, look, I think Jared Goff is way better than people kind of give him credit for being. Took a team to a Super Bowl. He was the number one overall pick. Like, guys like that have that kind of DNA and makeup that have accomplished that, they're not just guys. You know, it's a little bit for me the way people look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback. I think Jared Goff the same way. I think he's an ascending player at 28 years old. I think they have amazing offensive talent around them. I think they're going to be way better than they were a year ago on defense, and they continue to invest on that side of the ball. I think Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, is a rising star in the profession. So I think there's a ton to like about them, and then their division is going to be easier than for them, at least, than it's been in years past.
Most people that are looking at a Titans glass half full and a pathway to the playoffs would be, it centers around, if you can get the four wins against the Texans and the Colts and take advantage of their situations for one more year, that would be a great pathway to do it. How tough do you think that will be? And if you had to lean towards one team or the other, who do you think has the better team, Texans or Colts?
Oh, a better team? I think it's probably the Colts. Just the, you know, now, like, are we, like, what's the assumption of the health of star players and things like that? I think that's been one of the things that's hurt the Colts. But, like, I think from a talent perspective, I believe it's the Colts. You know, and in terms of, you know, what you're saying about winning the games in your division, you know, like, in the break, I'm kind of like, man, did I overshoot it at 9 wins? And Look, I think you're right. I think they're like it's a doable path, and I think that those two teams, Texans and Colts, like they should be further behind than where the Titans are. I mean, they really should, and those should be games where you look at, look, if those are four wins, like what you're talking about is, you know, certainly, you know, achievable, because if those are four wins, you split in the division, and then, you know, whether it's, look, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, like that, I mean, look, that before you split, like that gets you to six. So, yeah, I guess that's a long way for me to say, Willie, like I think they're further ahead than those teams. I think the Colts are a little bit better, and I still feel okay about my 9-win prediction.
Now, Tim, this Titans team, last year they didn't make it to the playoffs. The last two out of the last three years, this team has lost their first game in the playoffs when, you know, 2 years mm-hmm. ago they had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They end up losing. Does the narrative change it if Vrabel can't get this team to the playoffs for a second year in a row? Because we look at all these other young coaches, and, you know, he's mentioned, you know, in as a top five, top seven coach right now that hasn't won a playoff, you know, that hasn't won a playoff mm-hmm. game in the last few years. But if they don't make it to the playoffs this year, does the narrative change on Mike Vrabel?
I think people still think he's a good coach, but like good coaches, you know, good coaches get fired. Like Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, good coaches get fired. It happens. Because I think sometimes ownership will look at a team and say, all right, like to your point, like, all right, here, we were a playoff team. Now we haven't been a playoff team. Quarterback's getting older. Do I feel like the talent on our team, when I look at our roster compared to some of these other teams, like, are we headed in the right direction? Are we keeping pace? And if it feels like, you know what, we need a reboot, like, I can see that happening. Like, and I think I just say that because like, look at the Chargers, for example. Okay. Like what is that team going to look like? Or what does, I think there's going to be a change. And I really feel this. And I think you guys were the ones that asked me about it to really get me thinking on it is, all right, like if you're just judging the roster, mm-hmm. and comparing it across the AFC, they have a top five roster. Like, do they have a top eight roster? Like, what do they have? And so I think because of, you know, how things kind of went down between, you know, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the direction, like, you know, at some point now it's like, all right, well, like this is all yours. And look, if it's not a successful this season, then I think that he'll get a lot of the blame. Now, I would preface that by saying, I think that if he were available as a coach, I think he would get offered another NFL opportunity in that season.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, Mike Vrabel not willing to announce who the backup quarterback is going to be at least for week one. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because people probably fear that there could be a package for Malik as a runner. So I think if Malik is the backup and you have some type of design run package for him, you know, not announcing it probably, you know, puts the Saints in a situation where it's like, do you waste time just even preparing for the idea that it may come up?
Interesting. Interesting perspective. Last one from me for you, Tim. What is your outlook of this Saints team? If they win games, and when they win games, what is it going to be because of?
Well, I think it will come down to quarterback play. Look, they're a team that has not, I mean, since Breeze left, like, they have not had good quarterback play. And so, you know, if they can kind of survive the suspension with Alvin Kamara, and if Mike Thomas is healthy, in their division, you just talk about divisions that maybe could be open or is not very strong.
That's wide open.
gosh, is it wide open. I mean, look, you're talking about the quarterbacks you're playing in that division. I mean, you've got two first-year starters and a competition, but like a quarterback that's on his fourth team. Like, those are the quarterbacks that you face in that division. So, like, is it out of the realm of possibilities as we talk about, like, taking care of business in your division? Like, can you go 6-0 in your division if you're the Saints? Like, I don't think that's crazy.
No, I don't think that's crazy at
Not
all.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. So, yeah, so my prospects for them, I think they win that division. I think that I think they – obviously, you're a playoff team if you do that. But, like, I think if they get some momentum – and I think Derek Carr is a better player than he gets credit for. And I think just feeling like you're wanted there by your own team is going to make a big difference in terms of how he plays.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate you stopping by. We'll chat with you next week, hopefully breaking down a Titans win.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate him for stopping by as he does every week. He is the very best. And hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville September 14th through 17th with Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword golf, G-O-L-F, right now to 615-737-1025 and enter win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.